This weekend, from Gulfstream to Aqueduct, bet and watch the races with Naira Bets. As a special bonus for joining today, you can sign up for a Naira Bets account with the promo code MONEY19 and earn a deposit match bonus up to $200. Join Naira Bets now at NairaBets.com or the Naira Bets app, and make sure to use that promo code MONEY19 to get your deposit match bonus up to $200. With Naira Bets, you can bet on any track from anywhere at any time. Go to NairaBets.com today.
Here I am in the city with a fistful of dollars. And baby, you better believe
I'm back. Back in the New York. I'm back in the New York.
Hello and welcome to the Naira Bets Players Podcast for Saturday, December 21st. Holiday time is upon us. Well, you know what, though? This is not going to be the last show of this year. We might as well go next weekend. If Aqueduct's running on a Saturday, we'll be doing a show. And I recently put out a call to the audience to tell us what they like about the shows, what they don't like about the shows. Give us feedback. And one piece of feedback I got was that we haven't had enough of today's guest. And this is even though he was on this very show, I think it was just 2 or 3 weeks ago. We're going to have him back anyway today, talking about the ever popular Nick Tamaro. Nick, how are you today?
Good morning, Pete. You dropped that one on me without me knowing. And so I would have at least prefaced your statement by saying that I was not the one that provided that feedback, I promise.
It was not a relative, as far as we
could tell. It was not, as far as I know. This could end up being in my stocking. I could find out that, hey, I actually was voted one of the most popular podcast guests. But, hey, you know, I'll take it. I'll celebrate the small wins.
That's great. We were talking this week on the Steve Bick Show about you a little bit. Of course, you're a Friday regular on there, and we were speculating what the odds were of you getting out to Las Vegas for the NHC. What do you make yourself at the moment?
I was thinking about going to the fairgrounds this weekend, and I've still got a couple more opportunities in January. So there's a chance. I'd say I'm probably 75-25 to not be there, okay. But there's still a chance.
Still, that's not that. Those aren't hideous odds.
They're not horrible.
We'll take them. We'll see what we can do. If you would not come out without whether your family commitments, etc., I assume if you do not qualify, you will not be making an appearance.
That would be safe to assume. Yeah.
Well, hopefully you'll get a chance to be there. It's always so much fun to have you. How many have you been to in your life?
I have been to 6. So I've qualified in 08, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. So 19 would break that run. So I'd obviously would like to be there. I wanted to be able, in fact, I think I needed to do, let's see, 7, 8, 9. I wanted to qualify 10 times before I was 40. So I've got 4 years left for that. It's still in the mix, but, I would rather knock it out by having one this year. And so, you know, it was one of those where back in the Belmont contest in June, I won a BCBC entry and then I actually won another BCBC entry online. I am not a frequent online contest player at all. And it just worked out that at the Pegasus in January, I was 9th, needed to be in the top 5, I believe. And then, you know, just didn't fare well at Arlington or Keeneland or Del Mar. And so those were really the only opportunities. So I still can envision a couple of chances, and I'm more than likely going to take them because, you know, even though I'm not an overwhelmingly huge fan of the format or the contest itself, I do enjoy what you go to the NHC for when you've been there quite a few times is the camaraderie.
Yes.
And the fun and the fact that it is the de facto horse players convention.
It is. I couldn't agree more. And we've talked about how that's not only fun and cool, but can lead to some good things from a gambling perspective. We've had Sean Borman on the show talking about opportunities that arose out of that. Just in the interview that hasn't even published yet with Dave Gutfreund, he doesn't talk about the NHC in this context, but just we get into the idea of that networking and meeting people who share your passion can really help shape you as a horse player because you get a chance to pick other people's brains about whatever it is you want to get better at, whether it's an aspect of handicapping or betting or whatever. it's very hard to find as concentrated of a collection of horse players as you're going to find out there at the NHC. So whatever you think about the economics, the format aside, I still think it's something that's fun to do. I know I look forward to it every year, and I'm going to be with Steve Bick in the ballroom broadcasting all 3 days. So that should be fun. Maybe if you, in the unfortunate event you don't make it, we'll probably pull you in to do a little bit of commentary from afar. But hopefully you'll be too busy competing for that to be an issue. I have to ask, we talked about it last time, how's the gambling going? I'm always curious to see how new fatherhood affects horse playing. Are you still in the same spot you were a couple of weeks ago? Has anything, any major developments, positive or negative?
I think I've had a better December than November. So I think things are going well. I think one of the things I said a few weeks ago is that I've gotten a lot of good opportunity to be looking at the form and not necessarily betting each time. But I think there's always something beneficial to that. And, you know, one of the things that, and I spoke to Steve about this last Friday, I'm always thrilled when we get to the point in the year where we're at Aqueduct and it's only the dirt, and that's the plan for 4 months. So Aqueduct is the one Naira track where I've had a positive ROI for the last 5 years. So I'm very happy this time of year. I enjoy it. And I think if you do your homework, if you're careful, and if you bet prudently, then, you know, there really are some big opportunities. And, you know, take nothing more than, without being too tangential about it, but last Friday was a day where you had an early pick five sequence that didn't have, I believe the longest price winner paid about $14 and it paid $3,600. Yeah. So, and if you're somebody like me who loves to get involved in that early pick five and the late pick five too, for that matter, then, you know, these are great opportunities for value. There really are. Yeah, the winning prices in that were 840, 270, 1260, 1480, and 1040. You had a 35 cents of the dollar winner, and the pick five got you back $3,618.
Yeah,
and that goes to
four.
Show you exactly right. It's just a tremendous amount of value in that wager. And this is the time of year where if you get yourself caught up in the fact that, oh my God, I mean, look, another winning favorite, and oh, it's so tough to beat these horses, and it's so costly to get creative sometimes, and just stay steadfast about it and look for every opportunity to beat, you know, maybe a 3-5 shot that shows some vulnerability, or lean on a 2-1 or 5-2 shot in a sequence where you might be able to get a little bit of value. 5-1 and 6-1 can really take you a long way. So I'm, that being said, I'm looking forward to the rest of the year and hope that things continue in this type of fashion, because starting to look up.
I like to hear that. And my results say the same thing as yours. I mean, obviously, as a horse player, you get so excited about playing at Belmont, and obviously Saratoga is Saratoga. But by the numbers, I do better at Aqueduct. And I do think it's a little more straightforward, and I think it rewards traditional handicapping, and there are many fewer curveballs. That must have something to do with it. I don't know what it is, but I'm happy that I can continue betting this time of year and actually expect to make some money. Hopefully we're going to make some money in this late pick five sequence on Saturday. It's going to be a little chaotic for me. We've got Perrin's birthday party, which very much resembles a traditional holiday open house. But of course, in this house, it is Perrin's birthday party. She just turned 7. So there'll be a lot of people running around. This may be a put the ticket in early and then go back later and watch the replays, as opposed to sweating and hedging and doing things along the way. It all starts with the 5th race. It's a New York bred allowance, and Nick is the guest. I'm gonna let you go first on this one. What did you see in here? Is it one to narrow down, or one where you want some coverage?
Well, of course, first and foremost, happy birthday to Perrin.
It's
a great time of year to have a birthday. mine being last Sunday. So it is
happy birthday.
Certainly yes, thank you. This particular New York bred one, other than is it does look like a competitive race on paper. It also feels as if there should be nothing more, I would say, than a moderate pace. And I think a lot of that is going to hinge on just how aggressively two of the outside drawn runners are ridden out of the gate, being 7+7 and Leap to Glory, both of whom have plenty of speed. I guess Our Last Buck has a little bit of speed as well. And this rider, Luis Rodriguez, has tended to be a little bit more on the aggressive side, which is always nice to see. So, you know, if any of those three really want to go up and push a horse like Oh My Papa, potentially, then we could see things open up for a horse from a little bit off of it. I thought the single most interesting entrant here, and it has to do, I think, with not only this horse's buyer speed figures, but the races he's coming out of, is Centrist. And Centrist was sent to Mahoning Valley for the Steel Valley Sprint, which, you know, most people probably didn't realize it was the Monday of Thanksgiving week, was one of the stronger three-year-old sprint races we've probably had all year. I mean, I'm not saying it was anything like the Alan Jerkins or the Woody Stevens, but it brought together a pretty accomplished group of sprinters, and this horse is just completely over his head. That's why he went off 162-1, and now he's in a far more realistic spot for pretty nondescript connections. So obviously at the time of us taping this, we don't know the morning line. I would imagine that based on his buyer speed figures and the running line that I've just identified, I don't think Centrist will be a particularly big price, but I do think that he'll get the right kind of setup to be effective in here. And with all due respect to Hem and Harkey, Andre Worry is an upgrade in terms of rider, based on how this horse ran the last time we saw him at Aqueduct. And yeah, his two best races did both come on sloppy surfaces at Finger Lakes, but I think it's notable that at least if you're a believer in speed figures, then he clearly moved forward in his last two starts. And that's something that's true of basically any speed figure you could be using. So I'm going to probably concentrate some of my action on Centrist. I think it's also wise to include potentially a horse like Oh My Papa, who was close to the pace last time and never really did give it up in a race where you would have understood maybe if he had a little bit, if that hot pace had taken its toll. Granted, he wasn't right on top of it, but he also was within shouting distance. So I'll probably mainly be 3-6 in here and use a couple of backups.
My goofy idea, I'd love to get your comment on, was Seed Money. My thought being that something went long last time, necessitating that trip to the bench. But going back to the maiden win number and thinking maybe Seed Money can run back to that or improve on that with the time off, I don't think of the Jermati barn as being particularly great off the layoff, but running the numbers, 6 of 35, 46% in the money, and a nearly positive ROI, I was thinking Seed Money might be worth a little bit of inclusion at a price, what I'm imagining is going to be a price, as you said, we don't have the morning line in front of us, in a race that did have a little bit of an open look. Could there be anything to that?
I think you could do worse. I mean, it basically boils down to how comfortable you are with taking a horse that clearly had something go wrong last time based on getting out in the race and then being on the shelf for 6 months. But as you said, this is something that this barn has done somewhat effectively. And I think that's enough for you to at least be willing to take a little bit of a chance. And it does seem as if this horse has a pretty versatile running style. He's been effective coming from well off the pace when, of course, he got a big pace in front of him. And then he was involved in the pace when he went wire to wire and won. Yeah, over the last 5 years, off of 180 plus day layoffs on the dirt, Leah Giamatti's 5 of 17 with a 210 ROI, and the barn is not quite loaded with those kind of numbers. I think interestingly, on the topic of these kinds of horses, she's actually got a couple of winners in that category in 2019 as well, including Beach Access last month over this very Aqueduct strip. So it's something the barn's done okay with, and as you said, there's enough to like in a race where it's really hard to dig into something, and I think that's where you do want to look for what will end up usually being some interesting price alternatives.
I've also been pleased with what I've seen out of Eric Cancel lately as somebody who follows Naira closely. Am I onto something with the idea that maybe he's turning a little bit of a corner as a rider?
Oh, absolutely. I think you're absolutely onto something. I think there's been a real bounce. And look, I mean, not everybody necessarily is aware of it, but Eric Cancel has a new agent. And a lot of times those lead to very positive moves forward. And I think that we've seen that. And he's been more aggressive when he's needed to be. And he's always been very astute and at his best to me coming from off the pace. The problem that you have when you're that type of rider, and the guys that you think about are guys like Joel Rosario and Irad Ortiz, they're two probably most effective off the pace riders in the game. And the problem is when you get to that, you start to try to take everything back. And I think Eric Cancel, we've seen be quite a bit more aggressive in the last few weeks. He's getting on some live mounts. You're seeing him get on mounts for barns that he hasn't really had any mounts for at all. And I think it's going to be a productive winter. So I totally agree. And this is a colony that is solid for what's in it. There are opportunities for guys who are able to get on the right kind of horses and ride them properly, identify biases, avoid the kind of traps that can cause you problems on a day-to-day basis. But yeah, no doubt about it. I think he's taking a big step forward.
All right, let's move on to the sixth race. We're looking at $16,000 claimers going 6.5 furlongs. What did you come up with here, Nick?
I'll tell you, this really has the look of a minefield on paper, you know, because you're putting yourself in a position where you're trying to figure out how much you trust a horse like Elios Milos. And I mean, I think it pretty much goes without saying that if Elios Milos runs his last race, he's going to win. He was ridden properly, I would think, for what was going on. I think that Hector Diaz probably felt like there was some pace in front of him, and he probably moved a little bit prematurely to reach the front in mid-stretch before getting run down by Call the Cat. But, you know, when you consider all that, you're like, oh, my God, I'm making excuses for now a 1-for-8 horse that have finally is showing signs of life again, who got run down last time by Call the Cat, who, I mean, you want to talk about 1-fors. I think Call the Cat was about 1-for-25 or so going into that race. So he's hardly the kind of horse that gives you a lot of excitement. I think that Max Revolution is in a better spot. And we actually talked about this race the last time I joined you, and we went over the pick 5 for that particular card.
Yep.
It was the end of Thanksgiving weekend. And we were kind of saying, you know, good God, we could see ourselves going a million different ways in here. There was just nobody really to latch onto. And I don't think that any of us, I know that you and I didn't like Call the Cat, who was pretty tough to like. But I thought Max Revolution probably had things go a little bit less than ideal, and was in a little bit of traffic around the quarter pole, and was a little bit stuck inside, which I don't think was a particularly big problem that day. But on a day-to-day basis, I think it is better to be a little bit off the rail at Aqueduct, at least since we've seen it get winterized.
Agreed.
So I thought there was enough of an excuse for him to be given a chance back. The thing about these kind of races is that he has repeatedly run races that are good enough to win. And I think when you're dealing with those kind of horses, you have to use them. There should be a lot of pace on paper. There is a lot of pace on paper. If it shakes out that way, I think you want a horse that's going to be coming from a little bit off of it. Both Max Revolution and Elios Milos will. As far as horses that might be forwardly placed, I think you really want to include, I mean, you have to mention Baseman Dave, who is taking a gigantic drop in class. It's an unsightly drop, no doubt about it, having been taken for 30 and having run somewhat poorly for 40, and he's now immediately going to 16, which, as far as 2 life claimers go, that's the bottom this time of year. So it's a matter of how much you can be comfortable with this barn obviously giving up on this horse that they just convinced somebody not more than about 7 weeks ago to pay $40,000, $30,000 for. So those are the questions you have to ask yourself in these kind of races, and it probably behooves you to be a little bit more liberal in terms of what kind of criteria you'll use to determine who you want to end up betting.
I definitely need to stick with Elios Milos on the tickets. Timeform did code that first fraction fast. I'm always a little more forgiving of those hanging-looking efforts when they make that move to the top early in a race that has some red coding in it. But I couldn't agree more about, do I want to stake my pick 5 life on him alone? Not particularly. The speed horse I was a little interested in was Moonbounce, who I was just thinking might end up being the best of the speeds, looking at pace figures, and I definitely want something that's going to be up in the vanguard, and I want something coming from off the pace. I like your case for Max Revolution as well, but this is a spot where I wouldn't mind being able to have a few more backups. Anything that you think is going to be particularly long end of the odd spectrum that you don't want to get beat by in here?
I could, you know, based on talking about Eric Cancel and how he's particularly astute with horses coming from off of it, I would probably be willing to use Cause for Applause. And that has really nothing more to do with the fact that it looks like there's going to be pace in here. And if he can take back and make one run and he can negotiate a trip from that inside post, this is probably a conversation that you should have with me and Craig Mulkowski and Paul Matisse at the same time, because Finger Lakes figures are all over the place. I make the buyer figures at Finger Lakes, and I have seen repeatedly that my figures are lower in comparison to Timeform US than you'd see at a normal track.
Interesting.
And obviously, and I believe based on our pars and the way that we do things and the way we analyze shippers that I'm right. And I'm sure that Craig, because Craig is an excellent figure maker and I have nothing but respect for him, I'm sure he believes he's right. So it's one of those situations where you might find a horse coming from Finger Lakes, and if you're a Timeform US and DRF user, which I will certainly admit that I am, you think, well, they're certainly fast enough on Timeform US, but you look at the buyers and you think, oh, they're really not fast enough on these buyers at all. So, you know, this is a situation with a horse like Cause for Applause where you probably want to be as careful as possible, and you want to want to probably look past speed figures and just reach the conclusion that he's a one-run closer in a race that should have some speed in it and kind of a packed field, and just end up going with that approach.
Well, this is a great segue to the horse I was going to pick slash ask you about in race number 7, New York Bred Allowance 6 furlongs. And I was more interested, the horse fits on figures certainly, but I was mostly interested in Wushu Warrior from a race design point of view, just because I thought he had a push button look and was going to get just a nice run into the race where, yes, there is other speed in here, but I saw things working out well. As far as Wushu Warrior goes, do you think he's fast enough to be competitive in race 7?
I do. And one of the things that I like about Wushu Warrior's profile is that the big dramatic step forward that we saw in his buyer figure last time, you do also see in his time from US figure. And I'm guessing, I haven't looked at them, I'm guessing you probably see something similar in his Theragraphs. And this has a lot to do with, and believe me, making figures at Finger Lakes, you notice this quite a bit throughout the summer, that you'll find a horse that is in general either in good form or has speed, or is trained by somebody whose last name is Engelhart, and they will get the lead in a sprint race and end up forgetting to quit. And that's exactly what happened with Wushu Warrior. So this is probably, and I do not have specific data on this particular card, but I would say that a lot of times you see the rail at Finger Lakes get very, very good, and you just have a conveyor belt one after another. So I'm guessing that Wushu Warrior, being a horse that's always been pretty quick to begin with, the fact that he was able to get away to a free and clear lead on maybe a surface that had a bit of moisture in it that he probably liked, that led to his big performance. And remember, most of the time, when horses run big figures and they don't duplicate those, it's because the circumstances under which they ran that big figure were not duplicated. And it's generally circumstances that make big figures. Horses make big figures too, but when you're talking about a horse whose form is pretty exposed, whose background is pretty clear, you know, Wushu Warrior didn't somehow just get 13 points faster day to day. He got into a situation where he was really able to put his best foot forward and his best effort forward. Now, that, how does that translate to this particular race? It would lead you to believe that he probably should find himself in a position stalking Cool Boy, given that Cool Boy looks like the speed of the speed to me on the inside. Joey Martinez is a newly turned journeyman who's been extremely aggressive really throughout his career, and it has benefited Cool Boy, especially in the good races that he's run. So I would say Wushu Warrior stalking immediately outside Cool Boy is actually a pretty good scenario for him, at having that sort of outside speed type of trip and really being positioned there to pounce when ready. So I think he's a horse that can absolutely run back to that big race from last time, and if he does, I would see him being very tough and being in many ways the horse to beat in a race where it's very difficult to identify any type of standout.
It always makes me nervous when you know the figure. I'm going to use the word inflated, and I don't mean that in any way other than you were just describing that the circumstances were so ideal. The public is going to see that figure and bet on the figure. We know that, yeah, he's probably not as good as that, but still, the way you run the race in your head, you need to use the horse. It's one of those where I can't press too much because I'm not convinced the value is going to be there. But from a pick 5 point of view, is definitely one that I need to be on the tickets, even if not pressed up. Who else do you want on your pick 5 from this race?
You know, I've kind of had a thing for Red Zinger for a long time, so I'm going to use him. He was stuck behind a moderate pace last time, and wire-to-wire winner, or Dark Money and Ventus were basically 1-2 the entire way around there. So I don't want to hold that against him terribly much. And he's a horse that I kind of have had a liking for going back to his, actually one of his poorer races, which was his 6th place finish off of his big maiden win. And he took a lot of money that day. That was the Thursday of Belmont week. And we know how the surface played out most of Belmont week. And this horse was just, he was on the Cross Island Parkway most of the way. So he got no opportunity to save any ground, and then came back at Saratoga and looked, coming off the turn, like he was going to just rip that one other than field apart before he hung a little bit. And then Gary Contessa ran him on the turf a couple of times. I will admit, and hopefully he's not a listener of this podcast, I'm really hoping that this horse ends up for a tag soon, because I know somebody who would gladly claim him. I think there's a big move forward in this horse potentially. And I'm hoping that he maybe gets a little bit of a pace set up and can maybe set himself up just a little bit off of it to go ahead and pounce from there. And I think he'll be every bit of 6 or 8 to 1 and can really inject some value into this pick five.
I am Facebook friends with Gary Kahn. He has been known to appear at the DG Lounge from time to time, but as far as I know, he is not a listener to the show, so you might just be okay as far as that goes. Let's move on to race number 8. It's our feature, the Queens County Stakes. I'm uncreative in here, so that just means I'm going to go first, and then we'll see if you have something a little bit more interesting. Stan the Man ran actually okay last time, I thought, against much tougher. Comes here off the long break, but he's won off a similar break before and has been training well for the return, as that bullet 5 furlong work 2 back indicates. On pace figures, looks like might have the run of the race. I'm definitely going to be pressing Stan the Man. Am I going to be singling? I haven't quite decided. How do you see this one, Nick?
I'll tell you what's interesting. Stan the Man was actually entered, I believe, the first 2 times the Fall Highway Handicap was carded. Stan the Man was entered in it, and then he was not entered. Third time was not the charm, because I think by that point, John Terranova had determined he wanted to reroute him to this race. The mile and an eighth is not a big concern for me with Stan the Man, but I'm a little worried that this is probably not his most ideal trip. I think he does want something maybe a little bit more around the mile.
Yeah, figures would agree.
I mean, and Stan the Man's run very well going a distance of ground in the past. And, you know, to me, what this race is going to boil down to, Pete, is just what happens in the first 2 furlongs. Because you've got, looking inside of Stan the Man, you have Roaming Union, who has some speed. I think it's pretty safe to assume that Stan the Man will be ridden at least to get in front of Roaming Union early. But isn't the linchpin in this race Major Cabby?
Yeah.
Because Major Cabby has been on top of slow paces in his 2 big wins in Kentucky, and then, I mean, really hardly disgraced himself in the Clark. When you consider that Tom Zetas won the race by over 3, though this horse was beaten 4 lengths per second, really not that big a deal. And I would imagine the Junior Alvarado would love to get him in a position where he's in that sort of first over outside stalking trip. But then you have Bon Raison and Hand Sense towards the outside that probably are both going to be in their best particular spot by being forwardly placed. So, you know, are we talking about Stan the Man with 3 horses almost flanking and chasing him, and me being insane enough to think there could almost be a pace battle? You know, I don't know. I don't think it's going to quite get to that extreme, but I think it's enough to probably take a critical approach of Stan the Man for me, understanding also that he has to be on any ticket and must be included. It took a lot of courage to claim Backside of the Moon for $100,000. And knowing that Bob Placeres took this horse off of Rudy Rodriguez, I feel like they had a very clear plan. And I understand it was an off-the-turf race, but No Dozing, who Backside of the Moon beat last time, we know has been capable of true graded stakes caliber performances on numerous occasions. And to me, this is the type of claim with intent that I like to see. This is a horse that's always been at his best at Aqueduct, that a mile and an eighth is well within his wheelhouse. And I think he's probably going to get an ideal trip being just a couple of lengths off of it. So he's kind of my main play. I'll use Stan the Man. I can't throw out Major Cabby. I'm going to use him because I do think his best dirt routes recently make him in the ballpark. But I'm going to focus, I think, my attention on Backside of the Moon, and we'll probably end up, I know we're talking about the pick five, I'll definitely use him. I'll probably play some doubles from the Backside of the Moon into the last race. There's a couple of probably halfway decent prices I like, but I did think it was a super interesting race, and I think you've got a couple of ways to go regardless of how you feel about Stan the Man.
I like the case on Backside of the Moon because I think that's going to be your best closer who's in touch with the field, and should these other riders get aggressive, I don't think they're going to be able to be best of speed over Stan the Man, but maybe they do hot up this pace a little enough to set it up for somebody from off the pace. Looking at it as we're talking, Backside of the Moon will definitely be on my tickets as well. We'll see if Stan the Man can see out the 9 furlongs this time around. I think you nailed it. It's all about what happens early in this one for Stan the Man. Let's move on to the 9th race, looking at 2-year-old maiden claimers, New York Breds, 6 furlongs. Nick, how are we going to get paid?
We're going to have to pack our patience for this last race. I say that, though, and really there are a trio of interesting second-time starters to me that any of the 3 of whom I'm willing to try. And I'm talking about Gringotts, the New Miami, and More Diamonds. And I think that each of them offer some bit of appeal. I'm starting with Gringotts, who was inside on on a day and in a particular race, I think, where there was a little bit more of an outside flow. And it's now just getting a little bit of the makeover that you want to see for a second-time starter. He's getting LASIKs. He's worked well a couple of times. This is a barn that clearly does better with second-time starters. This horse didn't really take a whole lot of money in his debut, but probably doesn't matter. That was a race that was, I think there was really no clue as to amongst the wagering public as to how this horse was going to run. I don't think he disgraced himself. He did show some speed, which I think is a positive sign. You can make a similar case for More Diamonds. He's also from a barn that, while the percentages don't show you that Bruce Brown is better with second-time starters than he is with firsters, this horse had enough go against him, I think, in his debut. Now comes back getting a weight break, which I think is something that matters. Agreed. He was involved in a hot pace, breaking towards the outside, should have some speed again. And the new Miami comes from a barn that is very, very streaky, but when they get going, it is hard to throw out any Gary Golo trainee. And we saw him have a couple of wins on the first week and a half of this winter meet. And this is a horse that took some money in his debut. He comes out of the same race as Gringotts and pretty much lost all chance at the start. So broke poorly, was never really going to be able to make up that kind of ground. I thought he ran in spots. I was kind of hoping he'd come back with blinkers, but even without them, those are the three that I want to use as my main horses. I don't see really any proven horse that strikes my fancy. I know that Keep Hit is probably going to be one of the favorites, but boy, I'll tell you, you can have him. I don't, there hadn't been enough from him to make me terribly excited. And I know he's drawn favorably and all that jazz, but I think there are enough interesting prices to try some alternatives.
We see it exactly the same. The three you mentioned are the three I'm interested in. A little bit of a preference for More Diamonds. I do like that weight break. I like that More Diamonds has shown the best speed in terms of pace figures. And I just think this might be the right spot for More Diamonds, but I like the cases you made on both Gringotts and also the new Miami. Hopefully we can take three against the field and hit this last leg of the pick five. All right, Nick, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for coming on the show. No doubt your final appearance of 2019, but we'll get you back on early in 2020 if you're game.
That sounds great. You can book it.
All right. And that's going to do it for this edition of the Naira Betts Show. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. In the Money Media's business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos. Because I'm in. I'm in a New York state of mind. This weekend, from Gulfstream to Aqueduct, bet and watch the races with Naira Betts. As a special bonus for joining today, you can sign up for a Naira Betts account with the promo code MONEY19 and earn a deposit match bonus up to $200. Join Naira Betts now at NairaBets.com or the Naira Betts app, and make sure to use that promo code MONEY19 to get your deposit match bonus up to $200. With Naira Betts, you can bet on any track from anywhere at any time. Go to NairaBets.com today.